Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm really excited for today's guest, Tori Block. Tori is a name you might be familiar with for her outstanding presence online, but she's also been a guest on the show before, sharing not only her birth story with us, but her struggles with mental health during pregnancy and postpartum. And I can't tell you how much that meant to me. Like, I always admired Tori and followed her for years, and we've been friends, you know, on the internet and stuff. But hearing her tell her story and her rawness and vulnerability, it just made me be so incredibly thankful that there are humans like her in the world that are willing to help normalize the struggles that so many of us face but feel so stigmatized around. So Tori, thank you so much for being on with us again to tell us your new birth story, your vaginal birth after cesarean birth story with your son Ryder. And I could talk about you on and on and on, but I'll let you talk now. Hi, Tori.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so happy to be on your show again. I'm really excited to share my story about Ryder because I know that so many women need to hear success stories about VBACs, especially as plus size women. So it is my honor to be on the show again. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And if we could just go back maybe for a couple minutes and update people. So you had your first son, Bodhi, via a cesarean birth. And if I remember correctly, you were induced, right?
Yes. So he was a planned C-section and it went smoothly, but you know, that wasn't what I wanted for his birth. And I ended up feeling shame around that because he ended up not having the issue of being 11 pounds, which is why they
right.
wanted to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I remember correctly. We've had so many induction stories, but yes, you were told that your son was so big and that that's why they did the planned cesarean. Okay. It's all coming back to me now. So you had your cesarean birth and then you also struggled with postpartum depression afterwards. When you got pregnant again, I'm sure you were, as you're so open and shared a lot over on your Instagram about concerns that you could be struggling again. Did you have a lot of struggles with the second pregnancy?
You know, for me, I think that so much of what wasn't talked about was already became knowledge after I had Bodhi. So I wasn't as shocked as things that surfaced when I was pregnant with Ryder. I expected a lot of ups and downs with my mental health. And, you know, that kind of normalized it for me because I didn't feel like I was just a crazy person, you know.
Yeah.
Hormones and flux when you're pregnant. And so that the second time around, it was better. However, there were, you know, a lot of things that happened in my life that were very triggering, which we can get into. One major thing being COVID, of course, and then the loss of my father. So
the loss of your father, and I am so incredibly sorry. Yeah, to go through a pregnancy during COVID and the loss of your father and struggling with so much, like, I wish we were in the same room and I could hug you right now. I am really sorry.
Thank you.
But I really appreciate all that you share because it helps people to know, hey, if you struggled with your first pregnancy, there's actually an increased risk that you will, you know, struggle with mental health and additional pregnancies. And it's important that we normalize that so people can get support. And so I always love and am so just in awe of how transparent you are. But
thank you.
So you knew how to prepare in some ways, but no one could prepare any of us for COVID, and no one can ever be prepared for the loss of a parent.
So, absolutely. So there was massive change during my pregnancy. So it's kind of hard to gauge off of like a normal baseline would be, but that's life and that's motherhood. I mean, you have to go with the flow and kind of just adapt to changes. But considering all the things that happened, I think like it was shockingly enough better. Like my mental health was better this time around, I think, compared to with Bodhi.
I mean, to me, that makes sense because you knew in some ways, what to look out for with your signs. And I know that you've always shared that with your relationship with your partner, like you're very open and honest and he has known what to look for and your family mm-hmm. as well. So you've really done the work of creating a support system around your physical and mental health during pregnancy. And that's something that we all need to be talking about far more often. So
major topic of discussion needs to be on the forefront if you struggle with mental health. It's so important.
Yeah. And I really encourage people to listen to their first episode. I'll put it in the show notes as well of like how much you really were open and honest and prepared. So you're pregnant, you're going through the world is upside down, but you have this choice that not everyone has when they are pregnant after a cesarean, of this option of, okay, well, now I can either do what I know with a cesarean birth, or mm-hmm. I can have a vaginal birth after cesarean, which is called a VBAC. How mm-hmm. did you make that decision? How did that come about of you being like, okay, I want to go after a VBAC?
You know what? It was such an easy choice for me because after mm-hmm. I had a cesarean with Bodhi, I felt a lot of shame around having a cesarean, especially when that was induced, like planned. And so mm-hmm. That really brought a lot of trauma on for me, which I definitely attribute to part of my postpartum depression.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I really wanted to go through that experience of contractions, which, you know, to some may sound crazy, but I really wanted to feel that. Like, I really wanted to feel that maternal kind of primal part of labor. And
yeah,
so it was a no-brainer for me that I wanted a VBAC. Cesarean birth, it was hard also due to the fact that me and my body do not function well on pain medication. And that's inevitable mm-hmm. after you have a major surgery like that. And so just the kind of come down from all those painkillers also just really did not mix well with my body. So vaginal birth and everything I read about it was just, it was a no-brainer. I really wanted to experience it and have just the kind of recovery from a vaginal birth. So that was my goal and there was no getting in my way.
I know that about you, girl. When you make up your mind, there's nothing stopping you. But we know, as plus size women, it can be hard to find a care provider that's going to support us at the baseline of our size, let alone mm-hmm. it can be hard for a person at any size to find mm-hmm. a VBAC supportive care provider. What was experience like for you?
So luckily, my OB, when I gave birth to Bodhi, I was living in LA. My OB even told me after I had Bodhi that she wouldn't do a VBAC on me if I got pregnant again. So there was no going back to her.
Hold on.
I was like, okay, bro, bye.
Let me enrage with my childbirth educator hat on right now. This is the same OB that told you your son was 11 pounds. When mm-hmm. how much did he end up weighing?
He was 8 pounds.
Yeah. So your body could have most definitely birthed an 8-pound baby. So this is the OB that 100%. Was off by that far and mm-hmm. then said, I'm not even going to allow you to attempt a VBAC when we know that, yes, there are risks with every pregnancy and birth, but mm-hmm. our risks with a vaginal birth after cesarean, the thing people talk about so much is the rupture of the incision. And that risk is like 2%. I'll put the exact stats in the show notes, but I know we've had Jen from VBAC Facts on the show before. And yes, there are risks with everything, but it is pretty low. And there's a lot of
very low in medical terms.
It's
actually kind of shocking. So fast forward to getting pregnant with Ryder. Thankfully my OB she's wonderful. And
because you live very somewhere open. Else now, right?
I moved to Northern California and my OB is very pro VBAC. And that was so important to me. And I didn't even know that about her until I got pregnant with Ryder. So it was just like win-win.
Good.
You know, because obviously there's different things you go to your OB for, not just pregnancy. But
yes,
they were very pro-VBAC, and they discussed with me all of the things that make a VBAC actually safer than having a cesarean section again, which was mind-blowing to me. And I didn't even know all of these things. You know, you just, we put so much faith into doctors because they have, you know, a medical license, but you know, there's a lot of politics involved with medicine as well. And so I'm just so grateful that she was so positive about a VBAC and a vaginal birth, especially at my size. And, you know, she never even brought up my size. Granted, I kind of gave her information that I'm very body positive and very careful with how I speak about my weight. But she was wonderful. And, you know, it's so important to find a medical provider that really just believes in you and believes in what you want.
And she clearly practices evidence-based compassionate care medicine. Like, she looks at the evidence and told you your risks and your benefits, and then you were able to ultimately decide what was best for your body and your birth. And that's how it should be. Even if she had presented all that information about VBAC and you decided, no, I want to have a repeat cesarean, that should be your choice.
Exactly.
So I'm really glad you connected with someone who looks at evidence and doesn't just make assumptions about what a person's body is capable of based on their size or the type of birth they want. So that's wonderful. How was your pregnancy overall with your second son, Ryder?
You know, it was good. It was actually easier than my pregnancy with Bodie. I had a lot less heartburn, which was fabulous because with Bodie, my heartburn was through the roof. I felt like I had a volcano in me like every single day, just lava flowing through my chest. And so it was really nice that this time it wasn't that bad. The nausea was kind of the same, but overall it was so indicative of what he is like as a baby, and that is like just like the most calm, chill, relaxed baby. And Bodhi is so opposite, which is hilarious, and I wouldn't have him any other way. He's the most extra AF, but they're total polar opposites, which is amazing. They're so perfect, yin and yang. But it was a great pregnancy despite all the things, you know.
Now, as your pregnancy neared an end, were there any moments where you're like, oh my gosh, what have I decided? Is this the right choice? Or were you like, nope, I know that this is what I want. I want a vaginal birth.
Oh, there was never a shadow of a doubt, not even a little bit. Wow. I was having a vaginal birth, and there was literally like, I didn't even have a second of a thought of wanting a C-section.
Wow.
Like, my desire was that deep. And I think that really helped when it came to actual labor. I mean, oh my God,
yeah.
Jen.
Yeah. Let's go there.
I wanted contractions. I got contractions, girl. Let me
she
tell
got
you
what she wanted. So
ask
did
and receive.
You go, right? Did you go into labor on your own, and how far along were you?
Yes. So I was 40 weeks in one day. My very last appointment with my OB before I started having contractions, she discussed separating my membranes and my cervix wasn't even open, so it wasn't an option. But I did go into labor on my own. I started having contractions while I was watching a Star Wars movie, which is super fitting. Then 13 hours later, I decided to go to the hospital.
You labored at home for 13 hours, which we know the longer you can stay at home can be better, because the minute you walk through to the hospital, you are put on a clock and you are watched and things get limited and interventions start to occur. Had you thought at all about hiring a doula to help support you through a vaginal birth after cesarean. I know for me, having a doula was really helpful, but you also have a very involved partner. And I mean, my guy's great and all, but he's not as hands-on. So.
100%. The doulas are doulas for a reason. But I did. But, you know, with COVID, we were only allowed one person in the room. And though I wanted a doula, I didn't want to risk introducing more people into our home since we self-isolated.
Right, right. You know, there's that thing, COVID.
So, you know, plans kind of got slightly derailed, but, you know, we adapt. We just, you know, we have to do what we have to do. And so.
Yeah. What day did you go into labor?
I believe it was a Saturday.
In what month, though?
Oh, sorry. In May. Sorry.
In May. So a lot of your prenatal care, your partner was able to be involved and it was normal. But then near the end is when everything switched. And then were you only allowed to go by yourself to doctor's visits and all of that with COVID?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, when she tried to see if my cervix was open and loosen my membranes, it was so painful. And I remember just thinking, oh, my God, like I wanted to cry. I wanted Shiloh there so bad. But you got your mask on and you're by yourself in your appointments. And it was so intense. And it was right after COVID hit in the U.S., right after my dad died. And so it was just so intense. You know, you want your partner there with you, holding your hand, and just with COVID, it's all of that got, you know, taken away. And, you know, you adapt, but you still have emotions and feelings. Yeah. And it's, you know, rough to navigate. But
so you're home in labor for 13 hours. And what was that like? Were you guys working as a team? Was it a hot mess? Tell me all the details, girl.
Let me tell you. Okay. So it started while we were watching Star Wars, and my mom, my aunt, and my husband, Shiloh, and Bodie, we were all just kind of like good energy, just like relaxing. And then I wanted them to go to sleep because I wanted everyone to be rested because it was going to be an intense, you know, day. And so I pretty much had contractions all night by myself. And not to say that they weren't there with me, they 100% were, but there is just, it didn't feel like there was anything they could do. So I wanted them to sleep. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to feel energized for what was, you know, to come.
Were you timing things on an app or anything while you were alone?
Mm-hmm. I was using an app. Oh my goodness, I forget what app I use. I forget. But it was when they started, I was like, are these contractions? And like, I wasn't sure. And I reached out to my audience on Instagram. They're like, girl, you're having contractions. I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. And so then as they progressed, I was like, oh my God. Like, so gnarly.
Right? You're like, I asked for this. Why did I ask for this? Okay, my body's magnificent, but what the F is happening? That's labor for you, y'all, if you haven't been through it.
Oh my God, it's just like so strange, and you're just like, whoa, that's a feeling. And I didn't feel like my immediate team could really do anything. Like, turns out the way I handle contractions is very personal. I don't want anyone touching me.
Yeah.
Which is like so interesting because I saw all these videos and stuff of like women like having their partners rub their back, and Shiloh was so amazing and he tried and I was like, don't touch me.
I was the same way. I didn't want to be touched, and people didn't prepare me for that either. So thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to walk in circles. I just wanted to walk. That's what I, in the beginning.
Really?
I just wanted to move.
Interesting. See, for me, I like curled into a ball. That was my thing.
So you zoned into yourself.
I grounded and I like became one with myself, like my surroundings, but I also just needed my own privacy.
That's beautiful though.
It shocked myself, to be honest. I didn't expect that. I thought I would like need my team and like have, you know, but like I really just like, and granted, of course, you know, Shiloh became a huge factor like further down along in the birth process.
Right. They come into the picture later, the partners, but in the beginning, it's often more internal. And remind me, how old was Bodie when you were having Ryder? What three. Is their age difference? Okay, yeah, because so if years. You're having a vaginal birth after a cesarean, you want to wait for at least a year. I think it's, I'll put the exact amount of time. I think it's 18 months. It's really important that you allow your body to heal. So you were well beyond that time. You were plus size, but having a low risk pregnancy. So you had all the stars aligned for a healthy outcome. And so what made you stay at home for so long? Because I think it's great that you did, but so many people, their first instinct is to go to the hospital the minute contractions start.
Sure. Well, the timing, it wasn't quite on the numbers that they want.
So but you were waiting for your contractions to actually start being active and working in a way that would progress towards labor that you would want to be in your selected birth location. There we go.
Yes. And so the thing is, my hospital is an hour away. I live in a small town in Northern California.
Whoa.
So I live actually over an hour away. Wow. And gearing myself up to be in the car during contractions, I was like, how the F am I going to do this?
Right.
Like, how? And so, you know, you just do. You have no choice. And so when we got to the hospital, Jen.
Wait, I got to ask, what helped you to cope through that long car ride? Because like a short car ride is hard, is torture enough. What did you do? Did you know turn into yourself
so
again or music?
You know, it's so interesting. I listened to a podcast. Nice. I listened to, okay, I love her. She's a great, she has a great show too, but it's The Skinny Confidential. Shiloh and I turned to her for like comedic relief. She had the Fat Jewish on, which was hilarious. So that comedy always takes away from me. So like comedy is always like a relief for me. So I listened to that episode, but
I love it.
Yeah, it was gnarly. It was super gnarly.
Wow. So you get to the hospital.
So I get to the hospital and, you know, they check me in and then they check how to see how dilated I am. I am like, gosh, what was it? I was like 1.5 to 2 centimeters dilated. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, you're like, I've been at this for hours and hours. Yeah.
I was like, that would happen. But it was okay. But they wanted to send me home. And I live over an hour away. And the thought of having to go back home. And, you know, I couldn't. It's COVID, you know, quarantine. So I couldn't, like, go, like, kick it at Target or something for an hour.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to go anywhere. So my nurse, this beautiful, sweet, kind nurse. I think of, do you watch Parks and Rec? Have you ever watched it?
I have. Not an avid fan, so I might not know the name, but I'm sure listeners will.
Anyways, the way Leslie talks about her sweet nurse friend, and anyways, that's how I describe this, this little sweet angel who vouched for me. And she basically helped get me to stay so I didn't have to leave and come back, which was amazing. And she ended up being my rock, like, during this whole process. She was amazing. Aww. Her and this one other nurse who were so wonderful.
And then with the COVID protocols, so you and Shiloh you're wearing a mask while you're in labor while you're being admitted, or what does that look like?
So that was super interesting. We had to wear masks at first, but then I got tested for COVID. And the test I received was the one where they stick the Q-tip all the way in your brain.
Oh, good. So while you're in labor, you get to have a Q-tip shoved in your brain.
I was having contractions while she shoved it up there. I was like, oh my gosh. It was so intense. It was so intense. So I was like, this is fabulous. But, you know, I turned out negative. And so then Shiloh and I were able to take our masks off after that.
So was he tested too? Or because you were negative, he was also able to take it off?
You know, which was interesting. He didn't get tested, but I guess they just assumed that if I was negative, then he likely wasn't negative, which was interesting.
That is interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I don't really
know
the logic there.
In every single medical facility.
Oh,
Don't go by just Tori's story of what your experience might be like. Please. Yeah.
Please. And I also, I called labor and delivery ahead and asked like a million questions just to prepare ourselves for like what to expect during this time. So I recommend doing that. So thankfully we didn't have to wear masks after that.
Good. And so then are you given your own room in labor and delivery?
Yes. So we had our own room. And I also want to mention that this labor and delivery unit at the hospital I birthed at, they're so set up for VBACs. They have doctors, like their doctors don't go home. Like, how do I explain this? Their doctors have, there's certain shifts for like emergency situations. Like, So they don't pressure you to go have a C-section if they want to go home and they want, or that, you know, they have somewhere to be. Does that make sense? I'm totally botching the explanation of this, but I know a lot of hospitals have like their one specialized doctor for, or like, you know, two or however big the hospital is for situations. Like if you have, if your incision tears.
Right. And, so it's the anesthesiologist. And so if there's not an anesthesiologist on call or they're only on call for a certain time, then sometimes people feel pressured to have a cesarean or go have things turn in a way that they weren't necessarily anticipating because there has to be an anesthesiologist on staff for the cesarean birth. And in some smaller rural hospitals, that's why there are BMI restrictions because they don't have certain staff available 24/7. So you were in a facility that does. That's wonderful. Yeah,
which
was
amazing. And that's also another
thing. Yeah, that you point out if you're considering a VBAC to really, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that information.
Yeah.
So important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're in your bubble. Did you bring your own clothes or did you wear a hospital gown? I know you're on like Instagram on your bra and underwear. So I'm sure at one point you didn't care, but like,
Judy. Okay. I brought the whole shebang. Like I was ready to have like photo shoots and like look all cute and wear my like cute robe. But listen, I was like a nudie Judy the whole time. Tits were everywhere. Off was out. Like there was listen, it was just often things don't go according to plan when you're giving birth. Like I totally wanted to like have the cute photos, but I was just like sweaty the whole time. Like there was I was going to do my hair. Psh, no, none of that. But I did bring a robe, but then they give you a robe and I didn't know if they like wanted me in that. I don't even know. I just kind of.
Yeah, it's confusing. Like they hand it to you and you're like, confusing. Okay. And it was my doula that was like, Jen, you don't have to put that on. And I was like, oh, okay. Like your labor brain just tells you focus on what your body's doing, especially when it's unmedicated. You're just very in tune with, I have a job to do right now. I can't think about clothes. So if you tell me something or hand me something, I'm just going to say yes, because my brain is elsewhere.
100%. Like I ended up putting my own robe on for that first 2 days or whatever. Like I was so laser focused on just pushing that baby out my vagina.
Oh, you just said two days, so we've got a road to go down. So
we've got girl.
I'm excited. So in the beginning, you were just, how were things going in the beginning? Just laboring on your own? Were you using a birth ball? Did you have access to a shower or tub? What were you doing in the beginning when things were kind of just starting up?
Literally, Jen, I didn't use not even a quarter of the things that I brought and like wanted to use. I was very like, I just wanted to curl in a ball and like grab on something and then just facial expressions all the way. like shower didn't appeal to me. The birth ball, like I kind of used it, but I'm kind of shook that I barely used it. Like pillows, massage, I did none of that. Like I literally just wanted to sit there and kind of like zone out, like almost just like meditate and like, that's it. The exercise I use is breathing through my contractions and that is literally it. And then just like grasping onto the side of the bed.
Did they have you get into different positions about every half an hour to 45 minutes? Because we're going to want to progress your labor in that way. Or were you just like, I can't move right now?
I was kind of like, I can't move right now. It was a mixture of that. And like, I was moving. I was turning and whatnot. There was a period of time where I was on the ball. So I was moving. I knew that I needed to move, but like not like walking around, not like just like kind of movements with my body. But
which can be enough just to get in a different position to add more pressure and your cervix and open things up. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's so what I was doing.
How long were you in Tori's world and going unmedicated and experiencing labor?
Oh my goodness, Jen. So by hour 48 is when I decided I wanted drugs.
48?
48.
You are my hero. Oh my goodness.
It was so gnarly. Like it got to hour 48 and I was like, I can't. It was something I had been sitting on for hours. You know, and I told myself before I even went into labor, I said, I'm not going to pressure myself. Whatever way Ryder's going to come into this world is okay.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I made sure I had no expectations of myself. And I said, you know, I'm really going to try my hardest to labor with no drugs. But if I do need the drugs, then that's okay too.
Yeah, and absolutely. And were you being continuously monitored or was it intermittent monitoring of your contractions and
continuous?
The baby's heart rate. They did use the Monica, right? The patch wireless. Mm-hmm. So you had wireless, which is nice. And especially great for plus size people.
Yeah. The second nurse, there was two like rounds of nurses that I dealt with. This one nurse who through the one of the nights that was there, her energy was just so off and she was very unkind and she got mad at me that there were so many wires on me, Jen, but she was getting mad that they were moving. So then they put, I guess it's the Monica. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
They put that on me and that was better.
So they started with all the wires and the bands that aren't necessarily size inclusive, and then they moved to wireless. So this is something that I remind people, ask when you're researching your medical facility, do they have wireless monitoring, and can you get that from the beginning?
Mm-hmm. But to be honest, for me, I could have gone either way, because the thing about the patch type of situation is as a plus size woman, when I sit up, it kind of like tucked into my skin strangely, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like it kind of felt uncomfortable. So that surprised me too. So I mean,
thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Either way for me was fine. You know, there was a lot of factors that like made like things comfortable, you know, the contractions obviously. And then there's so many wires and IVs, and I had an IV in me, many IVs actually.
Were you able to eat or were they just...
I couldn't eat or drink because just in case I had to go to C-section. I was so hungry. So hungry. So thirsty. But they do give you fluids so that way you're not just like completely...
Yeah.
You know.
They're pumping your body full of fluids that can be hard to with postpartum too. So yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Did you know that 1 in 12 children suffer from a food allergy? As a mom who suffers from food allergies herself, I was concerned about my son developing allergies when he was a baby. I'm excited to tell you about Ready Set Food, founded by a team of physicians, leading allergy experts, and parents. It's a groundbreaking solution to childhood food allergy prevention. Ready Set Food conveniently mixes in with breast milk, formula, or food, and is pre-dosed to give your baby the right amount of peanut, egg, and milk, even if they're not yet ready to eat solid food. With more than 1,000 pediatricians and allergists recommending Ready Set Food in their practices, I really wish I would have had access to it when my son was little. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get $20 off of the first of a 6-month subscription to Ready Set Food, valid for new customers only and through the end of the year. Now, let's get back to the show. Okay, so you're doing all the things, all the monitors, all the wires. Along this journey up until the 48-hour mark, when were you like starting to really debate whether or not you wanted some pain relief?
Probably around hour 40. And it was a really hard choice for me. I really, really wanted to do a drug-free birth. But you know, it's okay. And I feel still good about my choice, but I was so depleted. I was completely depleted emotionally, physically, spiritually, like just completely depleted. I was so emotional. I was crying. I actually shared a video on Instagram of just me crying for my dad and Shiloh holding me. And this was like the one time I was on the birth ball. And I was so emotional. I was just, I could feel my dad with me, and I was just longing for him and his comfort. He was just such an empath and such a calming energy. And I just needed guidance, you know?
Yeah.
And
I'm so sorry.
And making that choice. And then I decided, you know, it's time. It's time for the medication. And so
you needed to rest.
I needed to rest. I was completely exhausted, like just nothing left in me. Like I remember thinking like, okay, I changed my mind. Like, I don't want to go into labor anymore.
I know. Like, just kidding. Kid thing. No, I'm good. We can just bypass the or let's just have this baby right now this minute. Yeah, no, and that's why like, I don't think anyone should ever be felt ashamed for whatever choices they make, as long as it's informed choices that they feel good about. And this is often why an epidural can be such an amazing tool, because you wanted a vaginal birth and you need energy and stamina to be able to birth a baby vaginally. You needed to rest, and an epidural can be a gift.
Yes.
What was
and
the
it was,
experience
surely.
Of having it placed?
So the placement, very interesting. So as a plus size woman, like I could sense the fear in the anesthesiologist. Like it was very,
you don't want to sense the fear with someone that's about to put a needle in your
spine.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. But like, this is the thing, Jen, I am very intuitive with energy. So like I could pick up on someone's energy in like 1 second. Like I know, I'm very like in tune with that. But, and she was such a sweet woman. But she didn't, like, she was trying to be so medically, like, correct in her terms. And she had me sit on the table and basically, like, do a yoga pose where I was, like, grabbing my feet. And I had this huge belly. And it's just, it was so uncomfortable. I was contracting. And it was so painful to, like, grab your feet while you're contracting and, like, have your legs sticking out straight. And she said to me, she said she was having a lot of trouble. It took her a while. And she said to me, because of the obesity, I'm having trouble doing this. I was like,
because of the obesity.
Because of the obesity. I looked at Shiloh and like, you know, luckily I am someone who is very like, I know exactly who I am. Like things like that don't scathe me. But, you know, like someone who wasn't, she was trying to be medically correct, because I mean, it would be offensive if she said fat or whatever, even though like I'm.
But it could have just been like, because of your size, this is a little more tricky. You need a little more time. Like,
exactly.
That is so, you're saying the same thing without saying, because of your obesity.
Because of the obesity. And, you know, my reaction was literally, I giggled. Like, I looked at Shiloh and giggled. Like, because I know she didn't mean it. Like, she was just trying. But anyway,
bless her heart.
She tried.
Yeah.
I was able to tell the difference. Like, I knew she didn't like want to hurt my feelings or anything like that, but still couldn't help but giggle. Anyway, so she placed it. I think like, oh gosh, Jen, I think over 12 hours went by and I wasn't getting relief.
Wait, what?
From the epidural.
After the 48 hours,
after
then another 12 hours and you weren't, did you let the staff know?
So one of the nurses who I previously mentioned, who like was just like really negative and like just very unkind, I kept telling her that I wasn't feeling it. And she didn't give a flying F. Like, she may have, but her energy came off as if she didn't. And
so
I went through that whole I didn't vouch for myself, which I should have, but she was like, I was so afraid to even ask her for anything. She was so like, she should not be doing what she's doing. But, you know,
I am so sorry. People need to, if you're in those circumstances, ask to speak to the charge nurse.
Yes. And that's who's in charge. And I knew that.
I know, but it's like, so hard to advocate for yourself when you're in that situation. And let your partners know to ask for the charge nurse. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I just want our listeners to hear it over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we can say it 4,200 times and then person's in labor and remembers that one time it was said, then it was worth saying it a million times, because I am 100%. So sorry that you were treated that way and you were stuck with negative nurse, because you can ask the charge nurse for a new nurse if that's possible if you're stuck with negative nurse Nancy. So I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So 12 hours you're speaking up and saying this hurts.
So 12 hours. It was like the whole shift of that one anesthesiologist. And so like she placed the epidural, and then every time I used the bolus, which is like the button that you press to administer medicine, the epidural to be released, it wasn't doing anything. And then I guess like one time the bag was empty of the medication, the epidural. And so I let her know, and then she heard that there was beeping noises, and then she was like such a grouch. And then another time it beeped and I didn't say anything because I didn't want her to snap at me again. And then she's like, why didn't you tell me? Like, that's why, blah, blah, blah. And I was only getting the bolus every 45 minutes. And so I had to wait another 45 minutes to press it because of the way she set it up, because she had to reap. Anyways, it was awful. But then my favorite nurse came back. My favorite nurse came back and she vouched for me. She's like, no, this is not placed right. Like, you're not getting any relief. You're still as miserable as when I left you. And so another anesthesiologist came, and he was amazing. He replaced the epidural, or replaced, he put another epidural on my back. I don't know what you call that, but, and he did it so quickly, so painlessly. He didn't make me like grab my legs or do anything.
He knew what he was doing, and he was comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. That's what anyone deserves. I'm so sorry.
But you know what? I'll be honest, Jen. I felt brief relief from that, because like when they place it and when they administer it, the medication, the first wave that they give you, yes, it feels like relief, but then after that, it's not as strong. So I felt like one round of the medicine working really well, like right when they put it in. But then
that was it.
To be honest, that was it. I didn't feel. Wow. And then shortly after that.
It's different for everyone. It's different for everyone.
Yeah.
For you. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay though. You know, when I finally was dilated like 10 centimeters and it was time to push, I didn't feel the epidural. I felt like I was able to compare what it felt like to have the medicine, like that first wave of medicine hit, and then it to just be gone, like, you know, the first epidural.
It just depends on how much is being administered and how it was placed, but you should have gotten some relief from like the waist down and not been like been able to rest. Were you able to rest at all?
For a little bit from that first wave, but honestly, after that, the epidural, my body, because it had been being administered, but since it wasn't placed correctly, my body wasn't feeling the effects. It's like if you put something in, like if you try to put an IV in, but it doesn't go in the vein, it's not going to work. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, same concept. Like I wasn't feeling the benefits from it, but it was fine. I mean, I got like a little bit of rest from that, from the second placement, like when they first did it, but I felt everything.
So how many hours had it been when you were finally fully dilated and ready to have this baby?
I think it was 60 something.
What?
It was insane, Jen. It was literally insane. It was like the longest birth ever.
I remember keep on going back to your Instagram and check for updates. And I like, there was like a day when nothing was happening and I was just holding you in my thoughts. Like, I remember like, I was like, this had been so long.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like people were concerned. Like I kind of checked my Instagram like a little bit here and there. And people were like, girl, are you okay? And like, someone was like, has anyone heard from Tori? And I was like, oh my God, I'm here.
I've been in labor forever.
You shouldn't have to worry about anyone or anything, but
no, and they weren't even saying that, but they were just like so sweet and like just concerned. Yeah, and like my heart, totally. Like, oh my God, my heart like was so warm from all. I felt the energy. Literally, I would not have been able to do this without the energy from my audience and just like those, just such sweet messages that I got, you being one of them. And it really gave me the strength I needed. But I also got a fever before I started pushing. So that was, that was intense. But then I could tell it was time to push because I felt like I had to SHIT my brains out. And
you got to poop.
Yeah, I got poop. And it's hilarious because I spell curse now because...
Because your kid catches on. Yeah, girl, that only lasts so long before the kid knows what you're saying. But I love it. I love spell cursing. We should implement that on the show.
We really should.
It's great. I love it.
So, yeah, like, it was so major. Like, there's no doubt. You're like, okay, it's time. I have to poop.
It is time to birth a baby. Time. Or have the biggest poop of my life. Or both.
Yeah, either one. Or both. Likely both.
What position were you in for pushing? Did they welcome many positions or were you on your back?
I was on my back and that's like what I felt comfortable with. And I was using the peanut ball towards the very, very end.
Good.
Yeah, towards the very, very end.
Open you up and get in different positions. It literally looks like a big peanut. And we'll put pictures in the show notes.
Yep. And then it was time to push and I could tell with all the checks and whatnot that my OB was doing, she was getting a little concerned, I think. And so I was like, I'm going to push my brains out.
Well, yeah, it had been like 60 hours.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to push like my life depends on it, even though I'm just so exhausted. And so.
Oh, I have one quick question.
Yeah.
Had your water membranes ruptured? Had your water broken yet or not?
It did. My doctor did break my water.
Okay. About how far in?
Oh gosh, I want to say 3/4 of this whole process she did.
Okay, so like the day or so beforehand.
Yeah, I could tell she was getting a little concerned and I was like, okay, let's just do that. And so then that it's still like hours and hours and hours and hours later, finally.
Right.
It's finally
and
done.
They usually want you to go about 24 hours after your water is broken before you have the baby. So that's probably why she was like, we need to have this baby soon. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
so now you're pushing and pushing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So now I'm pushing. Oh, no, you're fine. And like, it was so funny. So I was pushing and we could finally see Ryder's head and my nurses were like, do you want to see in the mirror? I was like, yes. My dad always told me, if you have a chance to look and see, like, look, it's the most beautiful thing, he said. And so I was like, okay. And then I looked and I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to look anymore. Cause I was focusing so hard on looking that I wasn't pushing hard. And I was like, okay, I can't.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a vision. Yeah. It's definitely a vision. Like kind of like a little too, it was a little too much for me. I was like, oh my God, I have to push. I have to complete this process.
But I love that your dad encouraged you to look. I mean, that's beautiful. And that he was there with you in your heart.
Oh, my dad was with Ryder before he became Earthside. I 100% know my dad was with him, just guiding him Earthside. My dad was with him the whole time. And that was super emotional and beautiful. And it's interesting. My sister was in New York at the time and she said she was crying hysterically. And she's like, I know exactly where dad is right now. And dad is with Vic. She calls me Vic. Oh. She calls me Vicky. But, turns out that was like the hour where I was pushing. Cause like I hadn't, spoken to anyone. Because I had work to do. But yeah. So then I have a fever, pushing with all my might. I'm exhausted. Shiloh was such a great coach coaching me through. And then same with my nurse. The two of them were just phenomenal. And, you breathe and you push and it was literally the most painful thing I've ever done in my entire life. Like when his head crowned, the ring of fire is literally like indescribable. It's just it was the most insane thing. And that's like when I knew my epidural was just like, not working, but that was
when you knew you were feeling it.
I was like, okay. I was like, this is the whole shebang. This is 100% of the pie. Like I can feel it all.
But also your body was doing this. You were birthing your baby. And yes, it feels indescribable. It is no joke, but your body was absolutely capable of 100% having this baby.
Like, yes, I got the drugs, but I can tell you right now, like, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I know that I was feeling it all and I was like, it was all me. And so,
and you pushed for an hour?
I pushed for an hour, which I hear is actually relatively short.
That's not very long for, this was your second baby, but it was your first vaginal birth. That's actually like really rock star status there, lady.
Yeah, that's what she said. She was like, oh my God, you're like doing, she told Shiloh, I think like you're doing like 8 hours of pushing in like 1 hour. Like so she ended up telling him something like that. Cause I was like, Ryder is coming out now. And so
you're getting out, kid. It's mama's done.
It's eviction day. I was like, I'm done. So I pushed, and when he crowned, I literally screamed F-U-C-K at the top of my lungs, and I totally didn't mean to. Like right after, I was like, you guys, I'm so sorry.
I was like, it just came out. They don't care.
They did it.
So sweet. Aww.
They did it. And so then he came out, and it was like the most relief. I was so exhausted. I was sweating my balls off, like literally just like totally movie status when you see like the girl just screaming and you know. So that was just super intense, but it was just like the most beautiful thing. And then you know they put him on my chest and it was so crazy. He was lifting his head up and just like seeing him, I was just like, oh my God, like the most precious moment ever. Just like I did it, like we did it, Ryder, like we freaking did it.
Yes.
And I just like I felt the energy of every single mother, like plus size woman, just like my ancestors before me, like I felt all of it, like I felt everyone's energy with me, and that is what got me through. That is what helped me just push. It is the most primal, most intense, like empowering thing I've ever done. It was just, it was magical. It was so magical.
That's so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you got to experience it and that you were willing to share it too. And there's no shame. And if someone wants to have another cesarean birth after their first, but I wish more people could hear stories like yours, especially plus size women, and know that, you know, if you're evaluated in low risk, like your doctor even said, this can be, you know, a really safe and healthy way to birth a baby once you've already had one cesarean, and that we normalize this as an option instead of the fear that's around it, because you did it, your body did it, you and your son did it.
Yeah. Thank you. We did. And it was, I feel very proud of myself. I was very proud of myself. And I just like felt like on behalf of women everywhere who want that vaginal birth after cesarean, that like I was going to do it for them. And I was going to show them that we can do it despite all the odds, despite what doctors have told us, friends, you know, family, like people, anyone who didn't believe in us, like that we can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the immediate postpartum experience like for that vaginal birth versus your first with Bodhi?
My goodness. It was amazing. To be able to get out of bed and to walk around is a luxury I was so grateful for, because with my cesarean, it was just miserable just being in the bed for me. Like it really affected my mental health in the poorest of ways. And so being able to walk around and to like get up and just move my body and not be in tremendous pain was everything. And granted, yes, it was the most pain I've ever felt in my entire life. And my body has been through some ish, but it was totally worth it. I would go for a VBAC again if I were to have another baby.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And it was really nice not to be pumped with like a ton of drugs. Like you just take Motrin after and you're cool.
Yeah. I like, know it is really surprising.
Super wild. I was like, you're only giving me Motrin? Like, okay. Like I don't want the, you know, painkillers, but I guess Motrin will do.
I know, I remember that too.
Yeah,
wow. Oh, that's amazing. Great.
Yeah. I mean, obviously like peeing for the first time was absolutely like so scary. And the like Perry Bottle was your best friend. And thank you for telling me to get that. The Frida Mom is just everything. Oh, yeah. The upside down Perry Bottle.
I tell like every person that's about to give birth, I don't care what type of birth you're having, like consider purchasing this special Perry Bottle from Frida because it's the best.
Literally everything like that saved me.
And I feel like it's easier when you're a larger person too to like get in there and
it's hard to get down there
in the show notes.
You've got more skin, like it's kind of hard, you know.
Yeah, we'll show the difference in the bottles.
yeah so the vaginal birth, the recovery was just it was just light years better for me than having my incision and having to like clean it and tend to it and you know, take care of the pain and whatnot. So it was great.
And how about your mental health now? Your son's a few months old.
So Ryder is 2.5 months old now, and my mental health, I monitor it like crazy. Like I do like a self audit pretty much every day. Like how am I feeling? Where am I at? About 2 weeks ago, Shiloh and I realized like, okay, we're overwhelmed. Like I don't feel like my hormones are as out of whack as they were when I was having postpartum depression after Bodhi. Mm-hmm. But however, I could tell that things were just kind of like stacking up emotionally. We were just exhausted, you know, that just comes with the territory. And so I decided to go down to LA and be with my aunt, my mom, and my sister.
Yeah.
So having two extra hands was fabulous. And then Shiloh was able to just kind of stick back and get some rest himself. And we didn't know how long we would be down here. So we've kind of just played this whole trip by ear, but it's been really good for both of us. Shiloh is able to kind of just like refocus on himself. He was going through some things mentally. He was having a hard time not working. He is someone who thrives off of work. He really likes having that responsibility and just like putting his body to work. And so that was really good for him. He was able to stay back and do some projects on his mom's house and whatever, just like stay busy during quarantine, which I totally advocate for.
But I love how you normalize that you need to do what's best for you and your family. Mm-hmm. And that you knew from the beginning that you were at a higher risk of postpartum depression. And that when you started to feel like, things are a little different, I need the women in my life. I need my rocks. Mm-hmm. I know Shiloh's your rock too, but you need your family to support you and maybe a change in environment with everything happening with COVID too. So appreciate you sharing that. And we don't have to have traditional dynamics. You need to do whatever best for you and your family. Always.
Absolutely. Screw social constructs. Like this is what works best. And this is, I feel healthy right now. I feel rejuvenated. My village is everything. My mom, my sister, my aunt, like women are so strong and so empowering. And I needed them at this time.
Yeah.
And Shiloh and I were both able to recharge and come. We'll be actually traveling our hometown tomorrow, and we will be refreshed and better equipped to be better parents to the boys. And so,
yeah, better parents, but also a stronger couple. And that's something we don't talk about a lot is after you have a baby, like you're just mom and dad or partner or moms or dads. Like you're not husband and wife or partner.
No.
Like you are just solely focused on that human, and it really impacts and makes tension, and it's all so hard. And we need to talk about these things far more often that if you're struggling, that's kind of normal, but here's all these things that you can do to get support, and you deserve that support and care. You don't have to struggle alone.
100%. No, you don't get a trophy for struggling, especially like with your partner. Like it's hard. You're so right. It literally is almost like a working relationship when the baby's a newborn. Mm-hmm. Like you guys have to like plan like what Shiloh and I do so that we both ensure sleep each night is Shiloh goes to bed from 6 to 2 a.m. and I'm with the boys and I put them down. And then from like 2 a.m. to 10, I sleep. So that way we both get sleep. And
but you're pumping exclusively, right?
I'm pumping exclusively.
So that's kind of a benefit that you're not because some people are breastfeeding and then they can't get those blocks of sleep. So yeah, I love what you're doing that works for you. And it's so hard too when you're all, and if anyone's formula feeding, that's great too. Like, you do what's best for your family. No, no judgments here in that way on the Plus Mommy podcast, but that's great that you and Shiloh have found what works for your family. And I love that you normalize pumping. I mean, you got to follow Tori, and we'll give all Tori's information, but on Instagram, like, this girl is like pumping on the side of the road and like doing Instagram stories. And I love you for that so much.
I love you. I mean, just like free the nip. Like, I was pumping while we were like crossing over into like Santa Monica Westwood on the freeway. And like this trucker looked over. I was like, yeah, I look like a cow. Like, I'm pumping.
I'm feeding a tiny human. This is what I do for a living. And you drive a truck. That's awesome.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. And so whatever way you want to do that is whatever works for your family best. It's so okay. Like, whatever way you want to feed your child. And pumping feed your kid. I exclusively breastfed with Bodhi, and now I'm exclusively pumping with Ryder. And I also decided I'm not going to put pressure on myself on that front either. Like, whatever works, works. He's being fed. Like, that's the most important. So,
because that directly impacts your mental health.
Oh, 100%.
That's what we don't talk about.
Oh my God. It's kind of insane how much pressure around feeding your kid can affect your mental health. And even pumping is stressful. Like, everything is subjective to you, like, or relative to you. So whatever works best for you and your family, whatever that may be.
Oh, well, Tori, what, and I know you kind of said a little bit, but what is your message right now to the plus size woman who's considering having a VBAC but isn't sure that their body can do it? What message do you have for that person right now?
My message to somebody who is interested in a VBAC is to drown out any noise from anyone else and trust your body, trust your instincts. We so often hear so many outside opinions, advice, whatever it may be, even from your doctor. Like, you yourself know your body and know what you're feeling more than anyone else. So just trust that. If your body is telling you that you can do a VBAC, go for it. And then line yourself up with a provider that will stand by you in that decision.
Yes.
And then when you set your mind to it, you can definitely do it. Like, it's 100% possible. And it breaks my heart that plus size women are told otherwise. And just because a medical provider says something to you about a VBAC, whether it be good or bad, like, you just need to, you need to do your own homework too, to realize that not everything they say is gold. Like, you, if you feel that your body can do it and you want to try it, like, trust your gut.
Yeah. And seek a second opinion or a third opinion, you know, do whatever you feel is best and connect with the right care provider and right situation for you as well. I know in, you know, some states you can have a VBAC in a birth center, and some people choose home birth, and there are risks and benefits to everything, but you have options and you need to do your research and decide what's best for you and your family. And that research is the key. And I'm so glad that you, you know, your first doctor, if you would have just stayed with her in LA, you would have had another cesarean. I mean, hopefully you would have changed, but you know what I mean? Like, you were talking in the beginning, I'm not going to support you. And you found someone that was like, actually, I think VBAC is, you know, according to the evidence, a really safe option for you. And even, you know, here are all the pros and cons. And you knew. And I think there's a lot to be said about how you made it up in your heart where I'm having a VBAC. And I know, like, for me, wanting an unmedicated birth, like, I made that decision in my heart. This is what I want. Did that mean if things went a way that I couldn't control, that I would make a different decision? Yeah, absolutely. We pivot, right? We're all going to have to pivot.
We pivot.
But if you have that determination, you have that strength behind you, it really, that mindset is so incredibly powerful and something that you can tap into as well. So
absolutely.
Oh, I am so so happy for you that you got that experience and you have shared so much with us. You are, I adore you so much. And
thank you, friend. I love you. And I am so glad we talked about this. And I really hope that this information just helps someone out there feel like they can do it, because you totally can. And I just appreciate you sharing your platform, this show with me, and giving me the opportunity to share my story. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Where can people find you and connect with you? And tell them really briefly kind of what your platform is all about. What is the Tori Black experience?
Oh, the Tori Black experience. Let me tell you, we are real. We are raw. We are fashionable. My community is just all about uplifting each other. And whether it be fashion, beauty, like affirmations, just like skincare regimens, we're about it. And so we are body positive. We are accepting of ourselves. And you can find me on Instagram at Tori Block, TORII.BLOCK, and on TikTok, because I'm a TikToker.
You are an amazing TikTok. Like, I go
I'm
to
a millennial TikToker.
Much just for you. Yeah, you're great. You're so creative and hilarious and fun. And then you also do these fashion try-ons where you like snap and she's got a new outfit on. And I'm like, how'd she do that? Like, you look amazing. So
magic,
yeah,
baby.
You're entertaining, but you're also really real and raw. Like, you are someone who I think everyone should follow. So thank you for how you put yourself out into the world, because you really do impact the lives of so many. And by your transparency and by normalizing things and by doing an Instagram story with like your boob half out, like pumping, and then a toddler is jumping on your belly and you're like, hey, hashtag mom life, like this is the reality and we're all just surviving and that's okay. And
yeah, so, you're going to get it all. You're going to get it all. So join me.
Yes.
The water is warm, my
join
friends.
Join Tori. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. And I hope people will listen to both of your birth stories and get so much out of it. So I'll put your story with Bodhi in the show notes as well. So
perfect. Thank you, Jen.
Well, you take care of all those boys. And I'm so happy for you and your family. And
thank you.
Take good care.
Thank you. You too, Jen.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Before we end the show, I want to tell you a little bit more about Ready Set Food that was just featured on and secured a deal with Mark Cuban on Shark Tank. If you or someone you know has a kiddo with food allergies, you know the emotional toll it can take on the whole family. Earlier this month, the USDA issued guidelines recommending for parents to introduce common allergens such as peanut and egg starting at 4 months of age for every baby. Ready Set Food helps to make this process easy, safe, and all natural by gradually exposing infants to organic, non-GMO, peanut, egg, and milk, which represents more than 80% of childhood food allergies. Learn more by going to ReadySetFood.com and don't forget to use code PLUSMOMMY to get $20 off of the first of a 6-month subscription valid for new customers only through the end of the year.